Hey, it's another episode of the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast. Today, we're discussing another NFL draft preview. Five players with the most to gain or lose in this upcoming NFL draft. If you haven't been watching these videos, essentially, we're talking about the current players with the most to gain or lose based on what their team does in the NFL draft. Today's show, AFC North. Key players like Lamar Jackson, Deontay Johnson, and George Pickens. What happens if the Steelers go out and sign another second-round receiver? Do those guys take a hit? That's what today's show is all about. So we're going to break down the AFC North, all those and more. Before we do, follow us across the board at Razzball Fantasy on YouTube, IG, and TikTok. And, of course, make sure you jump over to Razzball.com, folks. We're doing great content on the written side with also baseball, basketball, hockey, and, of course, football. But today's show is the AFC North. Five players was the most gained from the NFL draft starting right now. This unfortunately marks the second episode in the row where I hit the outro and said, smooth as always, when you're the host, producer, the producer side of me is going to get fired while the host is going to have to continue on. Nice. Well, enough. Buried the lead long enough. It's Gladys L. Tyler. You can follow at Gladys L. Tyler on Twitter. Gladys, save the show. What's going on?
Hello, hello, hello. And if you aren't watching or haven't been watching me, why haven't you? What else do you have to do? I mean, come on now. It's like almost the best content on YouTube, on Twitter, on Twitch. Mm-hmm. Come on. Get the show. You want to get in now? So like you're not like on the bandwagon when the season starts mm-hmm. and you're like, oh my God. All this stuff I could have known already. You could have known it.
Lash, if you listened to us last year, Gladys got scoffed at for saying Austin Eckler should be the 101. And at the time, I was like, hey, he's number three, 101. But if you listened to Gladys, folks, you would avoid that JT bomb last year. And you would have done pretty good at fantasy football. So I do agree with Gladys. Follow us. We already talked about it. But today's show, I've been really enjoying these because, number one, I am not a college football guy. And so talking about the NFL draft is kind of like, I just want to see where guys end up. And then I want to see the training camp reports. I don't care how good you were in college. It means dog shit in the NFL, in my opinion. So I actually like to take a look at the other way. How many current players after the first wave of free agency have really gained a lot of traction in fantasy equity over the next year? So that's what I want to talk about today's show. Five players most to gain. Today we're talking about the AFC North. Let's jump into it. At number five, one of the new guys over for the Ravens is Nelson Agholor. You want to talk to him today about why he is one of the guys with the most to gain? Gladys, so talk to us about Nelson Agholor.
Ooh, I think I went the other way. I think he's one of the guys with the most to lose, actually, in the draft. If they draft – okay, here's the whole thing. No one knows what Baltimore Ravens are doing. Like, no one. I don't even think the Baltimore Ravens know what the Baltimore Ravens are doing. So they bring in Nelson Agholor, who, I'm sorry, he is 53 targets, 31 receptions, 302 yards, 2 touchdowns, 11% target share, 69th in yards after the catch, 12.1 average DOT. Last season, the Ravens wide receivers had 10 receptions of throws of 20 or more yards. That's the second fewest in the NFL. So yeah, let's bring in Nelson Agholor, and then let's draft, I don't know, Jordan Addison or Tyler Scott. I think, again, who knows, if the Ravens draft a wide receiver, Aguilar's gone. I think that the equity in him isn't so high that they keep him around and he sticks around and does nothing. I would not draft him in any fantasy, best ball, redraft. I don't play Dynasty, so I don't know, but probably not Dynasty. I don't see why you would. He's there to stretch the field. Who's going to throw him the ball? Who's going to throw him the ball to stretch the field, right? I mean, you have to have a quarterback that can stretch the field, that can throw you the ball because his yards after catch suck. So who's going to do that? And I'm sorry, there are younger, better players in the draft than free agency. And that was mainly the biggest problem with this year's free agency class. It was so weak, especially the wide receivers. It was just a weak class. And so you get better. I don't know why they picked him up. I can't answer that. And I'm pretty sure Harbaugh can't and no one else on the Ravens can. So Agholor to me has the most to lose. And if you're a fantasy player and for some reason you draft him now, why would you be drafting now? But if you are, you have the most to lose too.
if you're a complete psycho, you're probably drafted exactly. right now. And you're the type of people we actually like. So feel free.
I love psychos.
Yeah, no, I so the thing with El Aguilar is that if look there's just like the Tyler Huntley thing. By the way, Tyler Huntley made the Pro Bowl last year. I think at this point, like what is going on? Like Tyler Huntley was a backup who played like 5-6 games and he made the Pro Bowl because no one wanted to go. That's super weird. Like, how bad has it gotten for the NFL that Tyler Huntley made the Pro Bowl last year? Okay. He wasn't even good. Like, he wasn't even like, I can understand, like, if Cooper Rush made the Pro Bowl because he went like 5-1 as a starter. Yeah. Okay. Huntley was not that guy. Anyway, all right, that's my Tyler Huntley rant. But we might have Tyler Huntley as the starting quarterback this year. And I think that with Todd Monken coming in, like, it's impossible. Now you have all this change. Todd Monken is now going to be implementing his offense. And how long is this Lamar Jackson thing going to go on? And how much uncertainty does that bring to the Ravens organization in the sense of going out and to get another quarterback, whether it's the draft, free agency, or a trade? Like, what are they going to do? Because, like, at this point, they need to save that money for Lamar if he signs, right? So, and if he does end up going on the franchise tag, you said very, very boldly that you think he's going to sell out the whole season. And just starting to seem more and more likely that's going to be the case. I could throw the numbers at you right now. If Lamar Jackson comes back, we talked about this previously, Monken is going to add so much more pass volume to this offense. We saw it within Tampa Bay, averaged over 600 pass attempts a season. The Ravens have been under 500 in that category under Greg Roman with Lamar Jackson. The third options for Monken in those seasons in Tampa Bay. So the reason why I say third, I say Mark Andrews, Bateman, and maybe Aguilar could be that third if they don't go draft a guy. Okay. Adam Humphries in his final year. So it's 8.7 PPR points per game. Not good. 9.9 DeSean Jackson. Okay. Wide receiver 4. 2018, Humphries, Godwin, and Mike Evans were all within the top 36. Godwin averaged 11.6. So there is an opportunity here for a third option in that increased pass volume. So I do see that as the potential there as well. Let's jump down to number 4.
Wait, one thing. Wasn't Monken the Browns offensive coordinator too?
Yeah, in 2019. Chubb. Yeah.
Like, I think the thing about Monken is he molds his offensive scheme to whoever is the best player. So if Lamar doesn't come back, it's going to be a running back. They're going to be a run game because they got nothing else.
That Freddie Kitchens season was so confusing. I don't even know what the hell happened in Cleveland. I didn't bring it up because I don't even know what to say. Like, it was super weird. Like, Freddie Kitchens actually looked good as an OC. He gets hired as a head coach. He's an absolute disaster. They bring in Todd Monken, who looks good as an OC. It's an absolute disaster. So I didn't want to – I don't know. But anyway, you're right. You are right. He seems like a smart – listen, he did some great things in Georgia recently too. So I do like that as well. Let's jump down to number 4, Irv Smith. And now with Irv Smith – I just want to bring this up because this guy is 25 years old, okay? He's been in the league for 4 years. He's 25 years old. He's going to be 25 to start the season. He's only 24 right now. And Hayden Hurst entered the league at 25 years old, okay? So that's how ridiculously young this kid is. Second-round pick out of Alabama. You know, he has all the measurables. He was a solid player coming out of Alabama. And here's the thing I like about him coming in here. Number one, Hayden Hurst, weeks 1-12 before his injury last year, in 11 games, he was the tight end 9 in fantasy football, averaged 8.8 PPR points per game. And then when he came back in the playoffs, he averaged 11 PPR points per game in those playoffs, was a solid contributor for that team. Irv Smith in 2020, by the way, remember, he got entered the league in 2019. In 2020 was his second season before his injury. Remember, he missed the entire 2021. And then he got hurt again before 2022. And then they trade for TJ Hockenson. But in 2020, he averaged 12.2 yards per reception, 8.5 yards per attempt. That both of those marks would have been top 10 amongst tight ends in 2022. So there is something here. This kid is talented. And I think you could get a really, really cheap flyer with Irv Smith if they don't go and sign a tight end or do something in the draft to disrupt that. Thoughts about Irv Smith?
I think that I agree. If they do not go get a tight end, if they don't get Mayer or they don't get Dulwich, I think he has the potential if he stays on the field. Burrow's intermediate throws increased last year by like 67% or something really crazy like that. and they went to Hayden Hurst, but they also went to the running back. But as we will see on the next one that you take, that running back might not be there. So I think Irv Smith has the potential to be great, but I honestly think they're going to pick a tight end where they draft. So,
yep. And that's why we're doing this show, right? Because if they pick up a tight end, fine. It is what it is. He's just a throwaway. And you don't have to worry about it. But if they don't, and this guy starts getting some buzz in training camp, you're going to remember this moment with these beautiful faces and say, thank God I watch Razzball Fantasy. Let's jump down to number three, Joe Mixon. Glass, tell us why Joe Mixon has a lot to gain or lose from the NFL draft.
Okay, so the beginning of free agency, there was talk that Joe Mixon would be a salary cap casualty. And then Joe Mixon tweets out, like, you know, I'm not going anywhere. And during the combine, both the general manager and the executive vice president's quote was, right now, he's on the team. So to me, that does not inspire a lot of confidence on you staying on the team. Right now, he's on the team means, you know, probably in the draft, he's not going to be on the team at the end of the draft. I think that Mixon, he's regressed. He regressed last year. The only thing that helped his fantasy value was the fact of the intermediate passes that Burrow did, especially when Jamar Chase went out. But he had 82 fewer carries than he had the year before. He was 25th in EPA. He was 30th in rushes of 10 or more yards, 42nd in breakaway percentage. He had a 19.1%. He averaged a missed tackle on just 10.9% of his carries. Mixon has regressed, and whether he can come back from that, I don't know. But I think that the running back class is deep enough that they can pick up a cheaper option who will give them, let's face it, Cincinnati is not a run-first team. I mean, you have Burrow, you have Chase, you have why would you be? And they can pick up a cheaper option. I think Mixon is going to be a draft day casualty.
Man. You know what? I think the problem is with the Cincinnati Bengals, they have to pay Burrow and they have to pay T. Higgins. Chase. And they'd rather Chase. Have those guys. Yeah, Chase. So they got to pay – well, not yeah. – I mean, like, as soon as, like, next year, like, T. Right. Higgins is going to be a free agent and Burrow is going to be due. But, yes, you're right. And I just don't think that long-term, like, it makes sense to have this money tied to a running back when in reality, Joe Burrow and those receivers could carry your team. So the other problem, the thing was for 2023, I just don't know if they need to make that move just yet. They lost Samaje Perine for nothing. And now they have Travion Williams and Chris Evans to back up. And neither of those guys profile as an elite passing game back, but they both have the skill sets to take over as a third down. Now, Travion Williams, after I did some research, is the guy I prefer. Right. Him at Texas A&M, by the way, had some decent numbers, 27 receptions, 278 yards his last senior, his junior season before he go for the NFL draft. Games. So, but the other thing is there is a sliver of hope for Joe Mixon. In the two, there was a game where he played – there was not a lot of games where he played without Perine, but he did play one game without Perine in the last two seasons. He went 5 for 59 and won in the receiving game. So there is hope for Joe Mixon to earn a bigger portion of that, which would skyrocket his fantasy value. So I think if he can't do it, that's not good because we're talking about Travion Williams and Chris Evans, who are day three picks. So there's that. Let's jump down to number two. This one for me is more about understanding, like, less is more in fantasy football. And when I talk Deontay Johnson and George Pickens, right now today, Calvin Austin, the day three wide receiver who's like 5'8", 160 pounds soaking wet, is the third option. Once they traded Chase Claypool last year, it became Pickens, Johnson, and Freiermuth, and then splash in a little Harris. And I think with Matt Canada coming back, the offensive line is coming back in full. You have Kenny Pickett in his second season. I think there's a lot of room for growth in this offense, and I want Johnson and Pickens to dominate looks. The problem is the Steelers do one thing better than they do than any other team in the NFL is draft second-round receivers. They draft the best second-round receivers outside of James Washington. They've drafted so many good players, and they could do it again. And this guy, we just saw it with George Pickens. They already had Claypool. They had Johnson. They bring in Pickens, and then it's three guys competing for those receiver targets instead of two. So this is why I think they have a lot to gain from this NFL draft, because if they don't go use a day two pick or a day one pick on a receiver, these two guys are going to dominate targets. After the Claypool trade last season, targets, Johnson, 67, 40 for Pickens, 49 for Freiermuth. Red zone targets, 12 for Johnson, 9 for Pickens, 13 for Freiermuth. End zone targets, 6 for Johnson, 3 for Pickens, two for Freiermuth. I know it's a lot of numbers, but essentially those three guys took up 61% of the total targets. That's great for fantasy football. Now, Johnson, by the way, just reading off those numbers surprised me. I was expecting Freiermuth and Pickens to be the heavy red zone guys, but in reality, Johnson led the team in end zone targets after Claypool left. There's a lot of opportunities. A guy who got zero touches, touchdowns last year could easily regress back to the mean this year. Thoughts about these Steelers wide receivers?
Well, it's well documented that the second half of the season was way better for Pickett than the first half of the season. Like the second half of the season, he reversed his touchdown to interception ratio. He, whether it was Canada or him, who's to say, but I honestly think that they will pick a wide receiver. It's a deep wide receiver class, and the Steelers are known for picking up a wide receiver. And I think they're going to pick a wide receiver in day two. But I still think that the fantasy community is going to be awed and by George Pickens, by his Odell-like catches that he made last year. And so they're going to sleep on Deontay Johnson. And I think Deontay Johnson is going to be the sleeper pick of the fantasy season, because I think him and Pickett have a really good connection, and Pickett, they will throw the ball more because his Canada's on his last contract. I mean, his contract is up in 2023. So he's got to show them something. And Deontay Johnson is the man to go after.
So I went through a lot of emotions there. I got upset with you for put out a hex on the Steelers for drafting a receiver. And then you totally redeemed yourself by calling Deontay Johnson a sleeper. I love you. That's why I love you, Gladys. Keep me on my toes. Let's get to number one. This one should not be a surprise. Let's talk about Lamar Jackson for the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, at this point, do the Ravens have to go get a quarterback in the draft? Do they have to take one of the flyer on a guy? What's your thoughts about Lamar Jackson, why he's number one on our list?
Well, from what I've seen so far, the majority of people who do mock drafts are saying that Indianapolis Colts are going to put up the money and give up the pick, and the Ravens are going to pick a quarterback with the fourth pick, maybe? They're in the top seven. And that means Lamar Jackson will go to Indianapolis if they shell out the money. So Jackson has the most to gain. Because again, I think if things don't fall his way, he doesn't mind sitting out. But if things fall his way, then he gets to play. So for him, it's not like a lose-lose. I think it's a win-win situation, regardless of what happens.
Yeah, okay. Did I talk to you about this contract? I think I want to call. I wish I could talk to Lamar Jackson and be like, all right, let's do this here. All right, let's do this. Would you do 3 years, fully guaranteed, $50 million a year, $150 guaranteed at signing? You're set to go. Last two years is a team option, but they have to make a decision, and then you're guaranteed another $100 million. Could we get that done? Is that a thing? Because if the Ravens, if he ends up getting hurt and doesn't play well in the next 3 years, they can get out of his contract and move on after three seasons. I'm tired of this. I want him to come play. Forget about whether I think he's worth it or not. He's clearly an MVP, but it just seems like Deshaun Watson – everybody else, can we just get here? Let's just get right here where he's so far away from everybody, but he's just not ridiculous like Deshaun Watson. And let's just forgive the Cleveland Browns for doing it because they needed to do it because, God, they need anything. I don't blame the Browns. But at this point, I'm tired of this conversation because there's so many fantasy implications. I think he would be great for Todd Monken. I think Todd Monken would be awesome. Listen, Todd Monken, who, by the way, when he was the wide receivers coach in Jacksonville, had a guy named Blake Bortles. Like, Blake Bortles, folks. Yeah. Blake Bortles was ugly as hell trying to, you know, maneuver, throw that football. But, God, they used his legs. I think they would just supercharge the offense. I think Todd Monken would be great. I think guys like J.K. Dobbins and who are just – they have so much, like, young talent as well. But I do believe, though, like, if Lamar Jackson does sign, like – they have Odell on the hanger too now. Odell is potential. I just like – you give me Odell, Nelson Agholor, you know, Rashad Bateman, Andrews, Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins, and Lamar Jackson with some Todd Monken. Sign me up. I'm in. Any final thoughts, Gladys, before we close the show?
Yeah, I don't think Lamar's playing for Baltimore this year.
I know. I already know. Worst part is I already know. I actually called this earlier. I said, you said he won't play. I said, the team I'm looking out is the Colts. If they could trade that fourth pick and something else, and the Ravens could go get Richardson or somebody to replace him, great. Let's all move the hell on, because I am ready, because I want some Lamar Jackson in my life. He's too good for fantasy football, and we need him back in it. All right, folks, that's it for the episode. Once again, this is the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast. Today, we broke down the five players with the most gain or lose from the NFL draft in the AFC North. Make sure you subscribe. If you liked what you listened to, great. If you hated what you listened to and you stayed this long, we appreciate you as well. You'll probably be back for more anyway. But this is why I want to thank my co-host, Gladys Altair. Gladys, tell the people where they can find your content. Tell the people where they can find you on social media.
So on social media, you can find me on Twitter at Gladys L. Tyler. I think a defensive piece just dropped for Razzball today. So go look it up. It's a defensive coordinators of the South, maybe. And there's three other ones. So, you know, I haven't done West yet. So it's everyone but the West has dropped. Go look at the defense, because even if you don't play IDP, you need to know where your defense lays, because you need to know what you're playing against. And that is going to help you. Also have a AFC offense dropping for Going for Two. Come look me up there. And Bobby's going to be doing a mock draft with me on some Thursday soon after the draft.
Loving it. I like to hear it. All right, folks. Once again, thank you for joining. I'm your host, Bobby LaMarco. Thank you, Gladys, for joining us once again. We are out. Here.